Take a Bible out and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And the passage this morning will be out of Matthew, chapter 4. I'm going to display the text up on our screen, but at the same time, it's also good to have an open Bible in front of you to have that hands-on time with the Word, because most of the time, except for just a few of us, I know, but most of us are going to spend more time in physical Bibles than reading on screens. So it's always good to have an open Bible and be able to follow along and look around. In Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to be looking this morning, starting in verse 12 and going down through verse 22. It's the story of the call of Jesus' first disciples, and I think it's a pretty important story. It sets the tone for us for the whole gospel. It sets the tone about what Jesus expects when he calls people to follow him. And I think it's some things that we tend to overlook, which I want to address in the beginning of the sermon this morning as we start to get into it. I wanted to call the sermon this morning radical obedience, but I felt that was a little bit cliched, but at the same time, I do want us to think pretty hard about what it means to follow Jesus. I don't want us to leave this morning saying, well, we heard a nice sermon about following Jesus, and I'm going to make a better commitment to show up more, to do this or that. This has got to be something that affects our whole lives. Not just what we do on a Sunday, not just whether we crack open a Bible during the week. This has got to become something as we think about following Jesus. Following means doing something. It doesn't just mean building a couple of different habits into our lives. It means reorienting how we view our lives. Jesus is not going to ask his disciples to just do a couple things for him on the weekend, and that's all he wants. They make major changes in their lives in order to follow Jesus. Now, is it challenging? Of course it's challenging. And when we go through here, I'm going to bring up some things that the disciples did. I don't want us to think that we have to run out today and make wholesale changes, because I don't even know that it's so much the things that we do, but it's the things that we think. How do we approach relationships in our lives? How do we approach the jobs that we do? How do we approach how we behave when we're with our families? How do we approach the hobbies that we have? How do we approach the things that we tend to waste time and money on? Can those things be reoriented or reconceived around following Jesus? Ultimately, that's what he calls us to show him the utmost loyalty in our lives as everything else takes a backseat to him. Now, what's that going to look like? See, that's the problem. And hopefully, as we flesh this out a little bit more in the sermon, you will come to find some ways in your own life about how that's going to look, because I can probably give you a pretty good outline of what that's going to look like for me, but what I can't do is tell you exactly what you're going to have to do. That's where you have to wrestle with the idea of what does it mean for me to follow Jesus, and then think through those things in your life and then follow where God is leading, because that's what following is. It's listening to the voice of God and then going where he leads. Not just thinking about it. Not just saying, yeah, I know God's shown me a few things that I should do, and then retreating back into the comfort of where you came from. But following means to go, to put some action behind the thought. And hopefully this morning, that's what we're going to see as we begin to go through this. I'm going to read beginning in Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness, have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I want to share a blessing this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then lead us in prayer before we get into the sermon. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time as we delve into your word this morning, as we think about what it means to follow. May we be encouraged to examine our own lives, to look at the ways in which we have followed, but also the ways, Father, in which we've held back from following. May we repent this morning of those ways that we've held back. May we look closely at how we can follow better. May we know, Father, when we hear your voice calling us, and at that time, may we not hesitate, but may we follow you at completely the way that you're calling us to follow. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he offered this simple message of repentance. We thank you that he taught his followers to simply follow him. May we follow him, Father, as we pray in his name. Amen. As you think about Christianity, what comes to your mind when you think about what makes a good Christian? Many times I've talked about my experience growing up and how my understanding of what it took or meant to be a good Christian involved simply running through a checklist of doing several things. Now, I never at the time conceived of it as a checklist, but in my mind there were certain things Christians had to do. And most of those featured some way of looking at reading the Bible, prayer, attending Bible studies, attending worship, and then maybe doing some other things that I thought would be good if I had opportunity to do that. But if I could get through those three basic things, if I attended the worship services and Bible classes that the church offered, if I read my Bible every day, and if I prayed every night before I went to bed, if I filled out that checklist, then I felt as though I was a good Christian. Now, I want to be careful not to say that those things aren't important, because they are. Those are foundational habits that we can build into our lives. The only point I'm trying to make this morning is that just because we run through that list does not mean that we're doing the things that God wants us to do. Because as we all know, we can do good things without ever having the proper intention behind it. And one of the things that we're going to see this morning is that God cares perhaps more about our intentions to follow him than actions done without the proper intentions. So for me, this checklist approach of doing this or doing that was what constituted a good Christian. Others of us look at the church structure that we're a part of, and we think that if we observe the church structure properly, then we're doing the things that God wants us to do. So if we show up to the meetings that the church offers, and if we support the programs that the church offers by becoming involved and maybe even stretching ourselves a little bit by jumping into a ministry that we don't really feel equipped to do or called to do, but someone told us we should do it, if we then jump into that, if we go through that structure, then we're being a good Christian. Now again, I don't want to downplay attending meetings, because in these meetings we build up one another. We find encouragement. But if we're attending meetings because we think that's what we have to do, and our heart isn't really in it, and our minds are not open to hear the things God is saying to us in it, then it's an empty kind of attendance. And we can pack out a building but not have any real change, because our hearts were not set on following but simply on doing, on going through the mechanics of what makes a good Christian. As we read in Matthew chapter 4 this morning, I think that what we saw is that Jesus had a much simpler idea, and Jesus had a much more radical idea. Jesus simply called people to follow him. That's all he said. And yet when they heard the voice of Jesus calling, they understood what that meant, and they knew what it called them to. But Jesus' simple call to follow him began more simply with a simple message of repentance. And we saw that after Jesus had been baptized and he went into the wilderness where he had been tempted and his identity was confirmed by God, he was the Son of God, he had the mission that God called him to go out in to do, and he began to do those things, the prophecy that had been spoken about him was fulfilled in verses 15 and 16 of Matthew chapter 4. And then Matthew tells us from that time on, Jesus began to preach. And he preached a very simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when Jesus preached that simple message of repentance, he was preaching a simple message that was calling people back to the foundation. Come back to God. Give up those loyalties that you have to other people, other things, other ways of approaching life, other ways of doing things by yourself, ultimately for yourself. Give those things up and come back to God. Repent. Put your loyalty back to God because he's been doing these good things for you. Jesus preached that simple message of repentance, that simple message of change. And then he simply invited people to follow him. We can see the simplicity of his call in verses 19 and 21 of Matthew chapter 4. Jesus saw Simon Peter and Andrew out. They were fishing. They were working. And he simply said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then later in verse 21, when he sees James and John working again with their father, mending their nets, Matthew doesn't even repeat what that simple message is because we've heard it already. It's enough. All he reports now is that he called them and they followed. He offered a very simple message, follow me. And then he linked in to the work that they were already doing and said, you're fishing for fish, but I can make you fish for men. Follow me. And in his call was a simple challenge to follow him and an invitation to participate in sharing the message. He said, we'll fish for men. That message of repentance that he taught, he now transferred to those who followed him. And when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he meant the same thing when he said in verse 19, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He meant, I will teach you how to teach others to draw people towards me. A challenge to follow, to leave behind an old life, to leave behind an old way of doing things, to leave behind a selfish approach to God, a selfish approach to your own life, and an invitation to take on a new priority to participate in the sharing of the gospel message. And when these disciples heard that call, when they heard the message, follow me, they followed. But when they followed, they had to leave things behind in order to follow Jesus. They didn't simply begin doing some new things. They did some new things, but to create the space to do those new things, they had to leave some things behind. And their commitment in turning to Jesus to follow him and leaving things behind was total. And I want to display this by showing the things that they left behind. The first thing that we can see is that they left immediately. They didn't take time to make a plan, to shore some things up, to make sure that their bills were set on auto pay so that they wouldn't have to worry about those things. They left immediately. So in verse 19, Jesus' call comes to Simon and Andrew. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Matthew tells us in verse 20, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And then in verse 21, Matthew doesn't repeat what the call was. He simply says, Jesus called James and John, but he does repeat the urgency with which they answered that call, the urgency with which they followed him. And he tells us in verse 22, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When the disciples heard the call of Jesus, when they heard his message to follow him, immediately that message affected them, it hit them, they had to observe it, they had to answer it, and immediately they followed. They followed it to such an extent that they left their businesses behind. Notice that when Simon and Andrew are out, they're working as fishermen. When James and John are out, they're working as fishermen. This is not a hobby for them. Many times we'll read in the Gospels and we think about the disciples as fishermen and we envision them out on a bank somewhere casting a line into a stream. But these were working men. These were blue-collar men. These were guys who were out working to bring in a catch of fish so that they could then sell it to others. This wasn't a hobby for them. This was their job. And yet when Jesus called, they left behind their business. They left it. Look at the totality of how they left it. In verse 20, Simon and Andrew, they were casting a net into the sea in verse 18, but now in verse 20, when they followed Jesus, they left their nets behind. They walked away. And in verse 21, when James and John were called, they were in the boat with their father. They were mending their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately, they left the boat. They left it behind. Now, I'm not advocating this morning that to follow Jesus, we all have to quit our jobs and walk away. But what we may have to ask ourselves is, what is there that I have to walk away from? What is there in my life that will prevent me from following Jesus? And for these disciples, because following Jesus meant being with him and traveling around, they had to be willing to walk away from the attachment of their business because it kept them in a location in which they were not going to be able to follow Jesus. And so they walked away. And now in the case of James and John, perhaps more radically, they left their attachment to their family behind. Again, verse 21. James and John were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat, look at what Matthew says, and their father, and followed him. Think about how radical that is. Now, in my first draft of this slide, I had written up there, they left their family to follow Jesus. But I didn't like that because I don't think that what Matthew is reporting to us here is that they walked away cold from their family. But what I think he's communicating to us is that they left their attachment to their family. They weren't going to let Zebedee's expectations for them determine whether or not they would follow. They heard the call and they said, "We have to follow, even if it means walking away from the family business." And that's what they did. Sometimes to follow Jesus, we have to examine those attachments to people that we have and determine if those attachments will enable us to follow Jesus. And if they won't, we have to think about being able to walk away from those attachments. Now, just to be very clear, I'm not advocating that folks walk away from their families. I'm saying Jesus may call us to break the attachment that we have to our families for their approval, to be told what to do by them, and so on. Because he wants us to have our loyalty not to our business, to our work, or to our families, but to him first. He calls us to follow. And they followed Jesus in his mission to draw others to himself. Jesus said, "You're fishermen now. I'm going to teach you to fish for men." That's what they were going to do. But he doesn't mean we're just going to draw people in. He didn't want a giant crowd. What he wanted was folks who were committed to this notion of sharing that message with others to draw others into the good life that Jesus was offering. When Jesus called, he didn't simply challenge them to leave and follow him. He wasn't looking just for a group of people to travel around with him. Notice that when he talked to Simon and Andrew, he didn't just say, "Follow me." There was something else attached to it. He said, "Follow me, and I will bring you into the mission I am a part of. Follow me, and I will make you fishers for men." What was the point of that fishing? It was to bring others to Jesus. To be changed and transformed by the good news of that call of Jesus so that they would take on that responsibility in their lives of drawing others to himself. They were to draw others to him. That was Jesus' call. His message of repentance was simple. It was get your life right. Get your loyalty in line. Follow God. Serve God. Put your loyalty to God and to God alone, and then see how everything else falls into place. What that means is you're going to follow Jesus. And what that means is to follow him adequately, the way that he wants, you may have to let your attachment to other things go. And so the question for us this morning is, what will you leave behind to join this mission? What things or what thing or what attitude will you leave behind? Maybe in your career, it's not that you need to leave your career behind, but maybe in your career, it's that you need to leave your ambition behind. Your ambition that says, I'm going to get out of the house at 6 a.m. every morning because I want to keep climbing that ladder to make a name for myself, to elevate myself, to make sure that I feel important, to make sure that I'm doing the things I want to do and getting the recognition that I want. Maybe to follow Jesus, Jesus is calling you to break that attachment of ambition. Maybe with your family, Jesus is not calling you to follow him by walking away, but to break the attachment you have for searching out their approval at every turn. Or maybe he's saying in your family, you need to follow me by stopping fighting with them all the time. You don't need to fight to be right all the time. Because when you follow me, it's not about being right, but about being a presence for others. So break that attachment of having to be right and fighting in your family. Or maybe to follow Jesus, it's just letting go of pride. I'm better than everybody else. I know how to do everything right. And so they need to listen to me. And letting go of that pride. Because guess what? When we follow, we're always behind somebody else. Never out ahead of Jesus. Or maybe what you need to leave behind is some form of idolatry. Maybe you think you're following Jesus, but when you really examine it, you realize that you're not really following Jesus, but you're following some image that you've constructed. And maybe it's a spiritual image. Maybe you've built up in your own mind some way that you think you can elevate yourself to being some kind of a super Christian by doing this or that, or being involved in this or that thing. And that form of idolatry needs to go because that's not the following that Jesus is calling you to. Or maybe it's some kind of idolatry even worse than that. Maybe you submit yourself to some God who is not God. And you need to let go of that idolatry this morning. The question Jesus asks us is, will you lay it all down and let it all go and follow him as he calls you to follow him? He leads, we follow. And he calls us to follow in his mission. Will you join him in that mission to draw all people to himself? Who might you influence for Jesus in your life? What people do you know that really nobody else here knows? What people do you interact with who are not followers, but maybe through something you say, through something you do, as you let go of these other things, of these attachments, so that you can follow Jesus, maybe you can influence somebody else. Who might you influence? How might you draw others to him? Is there somebody that at work maybe that you can begin meeting with over coffee once a week to talk with? Maybe you can begin praying for that person. Maybe an opportunity comes up where you can begin on the side reading the Bible together. Maybe it's somebody in your family that you need to mend fences with, and that mending of fences will be the first sign that your life is being changed because they now see that you don't have to come to them to be right, but you can go to them with humility, asking forgiveness. How might you draw others to Jesus? Think about what might change in your life if you begin to focus on following Jesus with the kind of radical obedience that we've talked about this morning. What would change if you began looking less at the commitments that you have to a particular structure or to a checklist, and you begin to think and pray radically about following Jesus and what that might mean? What might that look like? What might change in your life? What daily habits might have to go, and what might come in to fill that gap? What things are you scared of when you think about following Jesus in these ways? But he calls us to let go. He calls us to hear his voice. He calls us first and foremost to repent, to place our loyalty to him and to him alone, to hear his call to follow, and then to follow him into his mission of drawing everybody else who hasn't heard this message into his fold. And so this morning, there may be some here who for the very first time need to follow him by letting go of everything, of that false life that you've been living that's been not being lived for God. We don't even have to live in a way that's opposed to God, but if we're not living for God, it's not the life he wants us to live. He wants us to live for him. And so this morning, maybe the call is that you need to let go and then be baptized into the name of Jesus to receive his name and the forgiveness of sins, to begin that new life of following him and walking in his footsteps. But maybe you're here and you've said, you know what, I'm not following Jesus the way he's called me to follow him, and I need to repent. I need to let go, and I need to start walking in the way he's called me to walk. Just repent and let go. If God is speaking to you this morning, don't just assume that you can hear it now and you'll deal with it later. If you hear him now, listen to what he's saying now. Repent and make those changes. If you're here this morning and need to answer the call of God, we encourage you to do so at this time as we stand and sing.